In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the goal, it shares with us the goal of the purpose of us coming together. The reason why we forsake not the assembling of ourselves. And in the 13th verse is what I want to read, because I want you to see the reasons why we come together. Verse 13 says, till we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body. So the increase of the body is not based on Jesus. He's the head. But the increase of the body is based on us. Make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, or the building of itself in love. I've been enjoying these teachings that Apostle been teaching us on grace. Yes. Yes. The enemy tried to rob us of the power of grace under the pastoral model. Right. Because the pastoral model is so self-centric, meaning it's self-centered, the pastoral model downgraded grace to just be a cover up of sin. And so under the pastoral model, there was a while, and some still are doing it, in the body of Christ where they're teaching grace as a cover up of sin. So in other words, you can keep the same behavior, but grace is there to cover it. But in actuality, grace is an empowerment. It's an empowerment. It is something that God gave us that will bring us up, that will cause us to accomplish what we cannot accomplish on our own. So grace is an empowerment. So now, if they use it in the right context, and if they define it properly, then what it means when grace covers a multitude of sins, what it means is grace will come in and pick you up out of sin. Yes. So you don't have to behave that way anymore. Grace will lift you. Grace will empower you to say no. Grace will empower you to find that means of escape. See, the reason why I'm so thankful for the apostolic is because an apostle structures doctrine. So anytime a doctrine or a principle in the Bible is taken off of course, it's up to the apostles to bring it back on course. And so grace is an empowerment. So being that it's an empowerment, grace is not just a cover up of sin. Grace is also there to help you accomplish what God has called you to do. That's why the apostle Paul said, I am, but what I am, by the grace of God. He was saying, if it wasn't for God empowering me, I couldn't have wrote all these letters. If it wasn't God empowering me, I couldn't have structured the doctrine for salvation. If it wasn't God empowering me. So grace is an empowerment. I heard another pastor say it this way. I just so you know, If you don't see me there on a Sunday morning, I'm not backsliding. I'm just at the moment, I'm following my daughter in her last year playing softball. She's playing college ball. So I made a promise to her I'll be there, try to be at every game I can be. So I don't know about some of y'all, you know, I'm not hating on LTTV when I say this. I'm not hating on Zoom. I appreciate y'all being here. I know why y'all here. But I've been raised in the church. And so when you go a few Sundays without being in church, it bothers you. It bothers you. You know, I was raised in a church, born and raised. So if I miss a few Sundays, it bothered me. So this particular Sunday, I was in Monroe, and I went to one of my brother's church that's pastor, LTMA Brethren, that's pastoring in Monroe, Pastor Comanche. And he was teaching, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. He's following the apostle, and he's breaking the message down at apostle teaching and teaching it to his church. And he was talking about the grace to trust God. And he said this way, he said, grace is a gap filler. In other words, whatever you're missing, grace will come in and fill in the gap so that you can be and accomplish everything that God has called you to do. So grace is an empowerment. It'll empower you to do what God calls you to do. If there's anything missing, it'll fill a gap. So, in other words, grace will fill the gap wherever you are lacking.
Yeah.
This is why we're going to get to Hebrews 4 and 16. That's why Hebrews 4 and 16 is so important. All right. So we're going to get there. I want to turn to Philippians 2. And I want to expound on a statement I made Sunday and why we come to church. I use Philippians 2 and 5, and it read a certain way because we as Christians have to stop trying to achieve. You can't change the stripes of a tiger. You can't change the stripes of a tiger. Why I said that? You can't change how God designed you. You can only ignore it. You can't change how God designed you. You can only ignore it. In Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you. Let this thought process, let this way of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As a semicolon, and it tells us how we ought to think, but I want to focus on let this mind be in you. Let this way of thought be in you. That means that way of thought or that way of thinking was already on the inside of you. Uh-huh. It says, let this mind be. In other words, it was already existing. The word let means allow it. So I have to allow this mind to express itself. I have to, the mind is already there. The ability is already there. The capabilities is already there, but it's possibly lying dormant. Go with me to Genesis. Hold your finger in first in Ephesians. Go to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. I want to read this out of order so you can see how we've been robbing ourselves of the ability of God that's lying dormant on the inside of us. All right? Verse 6, Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right? Yes, you see this? Satan didn't make her do it. Satan didn't make him do it. They chose to. Are you seeing this? All right. Watch this now. Watch this. They chose to. They were already like God. That's how God made them. So Satan, being jealous, wanted to usurp that power and that authority. The reason why the tree was in the center of the garden is because God wanted man to have a choice whether he was going to be who he designed him to be or be what everybody else want him to be. The capabilities was already existing. Adam and Eve was already like God. Why? Because he made them in his image. But it was Satan that came in and covered up the image. He covered up the image by doing what to him? Lying. Telling them something that was not true. So, in that same thought process, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin nature took over. All right, you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you were born, I'm talking about you now, when you were born, the same process that God used for Adam and Eve was used for you. There's no such thing as somebody here on earth without a spirit. The only difference is when you were born not knowing that the sin nature was resting on you. So when you got born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, watch this. The only thing that happened was Jesus uncovered the real you. When you got born again, Jesus uncovered the real you. Now, He uncovered the real you, but you remember now, he redeemed us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Christ has redeemed us, put us back in a former position. He uncovered the real you. Put you in the same position that Adam and Eve was in before they ate off the tree. All right? The responsibility for discovering that you is not on Jesus. The responsibility for discovering who God designed you to be is on you. This is why he sent the fivefold, so that they can position you so you won't be tossed to and fro. Now, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine simply means that I won't be swayed by everything that comes around me. No matter who it comes from. Because I'm perfected, I'm matured, I'm coming into the knowledge of Christ. I'm coming into the fullness of his nature. I'm coming into who he designed me to be. That's not on the fivefold to do that for you. That's on you. See, Christ uncovered your spirit. What I mean by he uncovered your spirit, he uncovered your spirit so that you now can have direct communication of God for yourself. Yes. You got to remember now, there was a reason why the curtain was rent in two. It was a reason. It was a reason why in the Old Testament they needed priests. Because they couldn't go into the holiest of holies for themselves. But because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary and redeemed us, now we are, our true selves have been uncovered. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Apostle, when he started teaching on grace, it started making me look. Go to Ephesians 1. I start looking at all the past tense words. Because you're not trying to achieve anything. You already are.
That's right.
And you have to allow it. Mm-hmm. Now, watch this now. Notice in Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you.
Right.
It didn't say you have to express it. It says allow this mind in you to come out. It didn't say you have to bring it out. It says you have to allow.
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference between you bringing it out and then you letting it come out.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed, E-D, blessed us with some, with all spiritual blessings. Now, watch, I love this last part of this verse. Because if you got to know English, in heavenly places.
Yes.
This scripture has nothing to do with heaven.
Come on, man.
This scripture has nothing to do with heaven.
Come on.
It says heavenly or heaven-like places.
Amen.
Now, I need you to know this past tense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That means God sent you here with everything you need already in you to accomplish what he's going to ask you to do. You're not trying to gain no other gift. You are the gift. See, we have to begin to operate from a place of knowing who we are.
Yeah.
Not, watch this, not trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm discovering is how God wants to use who I am.
Yes.
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 Did you catch that?
Yes.
I'm not trying to figure out who I am. I'm trying to figure out how God wants to use who I am.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
He hath blessed us. It's already on the inside of you. It's already there. This is why you have to mature. There's some things on the inside of you that God can't let you use now. Because you haven't matured to that. That don't mean it ain't there. It's just you haven't matured to it yet, but if you keep spending time with him, if you keep spending time with him, I'm gonna show it to you very clearly. If you keep spending time with him, you will get to that place where that gift or whatever ability or whatever capability you need will just flow out of you. See. Church, well, religion was trying to get us to perform, trying to get us a list of things to do and a list of things not to do. instead of being.
Yes, sir.
See, there's a difference. Yes, sir. Having a list of things to do and having a list of things not to do, well, it's the law.
Yeah.
That's you working. But when you let things come, when you let it come from you because you have an understanding of who you are and you work in cooperation with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit and let it come from you. Mm-hmm. When you let it come from you, you'll find out that life becomes a whole lot easier.
Yes.
See, a lot of things that you're stressing about, you're stressing because you're trying to figure out. You trying to figure out how you going to make it work. When the answer for that situation is, but you're blocking it because you are frustrating the grace of God.
There you go. That's it.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Yes.
You are frustrating the grace of God. You are frustrating the empowerment.
Yes.
In other words, you're getting in the way of the empowerment. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5. One of the things I'm enjoying the most about this, about the apostolic, is now I'm reading the scriptures from a different point of view. And I'm seeing how these scriptures really can be applied in my life. And I see results from them. You understand? You see results. It's not, I'm not just going through the motions. Ephesians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man, I love that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking from a point of view of how you, as a new believer, or you, as a human, sees things. So when you got born again, you became a new creature. All right? But to God, you was already who he designed you to be. To you, you was a new creature. But to him, God said, they finally figured it out. They finally figured it out. Now let's go to work. See, to you, you became new. But to God, because remember now, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. All right. If Apostle Paul wasn't talking from a point of view that's telling you, talking to you, and you realizing that you're a new creature, then why would God say in Jeremiah 29:11? God said, I know thoughts. He told Jeremiah, I knew you. You just didn't know you. So when you got born again, it became new to you because you don't know any other way to carry yourself.
Right.
But to God, God said this person is back to who I originally planned them to be.
Yes.
While you were living in sin, the Spirit of God was lying dormant on the inside of you.
Yes.
Covered up by the sin nature, and the way the sin nature stays covered up, keeps the spirit covered up, is allowing Satan to keep lying to you.
Yeah.
It ain't no new tricks.
That's right.
He lied to cover up the spirit of God in man the first time. He gonna keep lying to cover up the spirit of God in you.
Yeah.
So whenever you face a challenge, that's him lying to you,
yeah,
saying you can't overcome this. And when you stress, that's you believing him. Because the answer is not, watch this, the answer is not with God. He sent it with you.
Glory to God.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
This is why Ephesians 4 and 11 is so important. That's the reason why the fivefold is so important, because the fivefold is helping you to realize you. The fivefold is here to help you realize you. Every gift, every ability, every anointing, everything you need to be who God called you to be and to come into the footsteps of Christ is already on the inside of you.
Yes, sir.
Already there. Already there. Listen, all right, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Watch this. Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 16th verse. Let us, therefore, come how?
Boldly
unto the throne of empowerment. Now, why do we need to come to the throne of empowerment? That we may, now watch this, this is key. This is powerful. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, it's the throne room of grace. It's the throne room of empowerment, right?
Yes, sir.
So my question to the Holy Spirit, why would the Apostle Paul send you to the throne room of grace so that you can have mercy? If it's the throne room of grace. Holy Spirit begin to deal with me. The throne room of grace is where you run into no matter what.
Amen.
No matter what condition you're in. It, the throne room of grace has room for apostle.
Yes.
The throne of grace has room for the person that just got born again and don't know nothing. The reason why mercy can be found there, if you know what mercy is, mercy is me not getting. That's what mercy is. Mercy is me getting what I don't deserve. Or not what not, watch this, not letting it happen to me what should happen to me. That's what it is. We just define grace. I'm gonna get to that one. Mercy is not allowing to let things happen to me that should happen to me. So watch this. So the throne room of grace, the throne room of empowerment is for the seasoned Christian. I'm gonna get to them in a moment. And it's for the throne room of grace is for sinners. When you run into the throne room of grace, and I'm gonna show you what I mean by running to the throne room of grace. When you run into the throne room of grace and you need mercy, this is why I tell people who have an issue with a particular sin. My Baptist days, I would tell them they're going to hell. Way back, I tell them you're going to hell. If you can't figure it out, you're going to hell. But now I understand how loving God is. As soon as you finish sinning, run to that throne room of grace. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean by run to the throne room of grace. I'm going to show you in a minute. Run to the throne room of grace that you may what?
Obtain
what?
Mercy.
God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Help me. So God will come in and help you and not allow it to happen to you. So now the remedy I give Christians who have a habit, as soon as you finish, run into the throne room of grace that you may obtain mercy and find empowerment that you can, that you may obtain, so that you can block off what should have been happened to you and then get power not to do it again. And the throne of grace is for the seasoned Christian who the enemy can't trick that way no more. You can go through the throne room of empowerment that you can find grace. Grace what? Empowerment. Empowerment to do what God has called me to do.
Yes, sir.
See, do you know empowerment sometimes is just know-how?
Yeah.
Do you realize that in that Jehoshaphat was empowered when he got prophesied to?
Yeah.
Jehoshaphat gave us an inkling of how to get into the throne with grace. He said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes or my focus are on you, God. Do you know Jesus kept running to the throne room of grace? Oh yeah, Jesus ran to the throne room of grace. Why would the Apostle Paul tell us run to the throne room of grace and Jesus ain't run to the throne room of grace? Jesus kept going to the throne room of grace so he can find empowerment.
Right.
All right, see, y'all looking at me sideways. Go with me to Matthew 26. Y'all, some of y'all looking at me sideways. Jesus ran to the throne of grace. Yes, he did. He did it a couple of times that I counted, but I know it's more than that. Watch this. Go to the 36th verse. 36. Then Jesus cometh with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Verse 40. And he cometh to the disciples and found them asleep and said to them, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye not, that ye enter in, not into temptation. The spirit indeed, but the
flesh.
Do you know the sin nature is in your flesh?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Now, let me get some of y'all. Let me knock some of y'all off the horse. Just because you ain't committing none of the Ten Commandment sins don't mean that the sin nature ain't ruling you. Because sin just simply means separation from God. You could be not doing things, but you separated from the will of God. You don't know what God wants you to do because you ain't spending time in the throne room of grace.
Amen.
So sin just simply means to be separated from God. So Satan don't mind you playing religion. He don't mind you playing church. What he don't want you to discover is who you are. And realize that the answer is not on the outside.
Yes, sir.
See, this is why we run to the throne room of grace. Gethsemane at that moment was Jesus' throne room of grace. What? This the purpose of the throne room of grace. The throne room of grace is simply to remind you of who you are. It's simply to remind you of who you are. Jesus had to be reminded. See, Jesus had to go through this so you'll know how to do what you need to do.
That's right.
Jesus said, God, if you could do this another way. But in the throne room of grace, God reminded him, nah, this is what you came here to do. That's why Philippians 2 and 5 say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Because Jesus went through this moment. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and felt exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. So Jesus, being, watch this, in the flesh, had to go to the throne room of grace to find grace, to be empowered to go to the cross. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all stop being super religious on me now. If Jesus had not gone through this, there would not be an example of how to go through the throne room of grace. If Jesus didn't go to the throne room of grace, then he couldn't die for us to go to the throne room of grace. So, but if Jesus can go to the throne room of grace, if this the kind of results that you get from going to the throne room of grace, it's about knowing who you are. I didn't say, watch this. I didn't say you have to make it happen. But you have to know who you are. And when you begin to forget who you are, because it is possible. When you face a challenge, that's all happened to Adam and Eve. They forgot who they were. So when they forgot who they were, they start looking somewhere else to discover who they were. That's why the tree started looking pleasurable to them. Because they let the enemy come tell them a lie.
Yes, sir.
Every challenge that you face is thank you, Holy Spirit. The throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me knock some other people off this high horse. When you don't know what God wants you to do, and you make something up, and you mess it up, you now need mercy. You bona fide Christian that didn't know what God wants you to do, and you made something up, and you went and did it, and now you created another whole situation, now you need mercy. So what you do? Run into the throne room of grace. See, we sometimes forget who we are. We let the system. We let the system. He said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. See, I don't take Romans 12 and 2 lightly. I don't take it lightly at all. It says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I said it Sunday. You can't build an old house. You can only remodel it. That means the house is already there. You can't renew something that wasn't there. So if I have to renew my mind to something, that means that mind, what is being renewed to, was once new. That means you came here with the mind of Christ already on the inside of you. But the sin nature was covering up. That's why I have to run to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and find empowerment to uncover who I am. Is this making sense? The only way that you can get to Ephesians 4, 13, 14, 15, and 16 is by allowing grace to properly function in your life. Grace can only properly function in your life when you completely and begin to focus on who God called you to be, who God made you to be. Yes. Not what anybody else say, not what the world system say, but you go to God in every situation. Matter of fact, you should get to a point where you're facing a challenge and you should say, God, who am I in this situation? Oh, who am I? God, who am I in this situation? Who am I in this situation? And you allow God to reveal it to you. Who am I? That's a good question. Who am I in this? God, who am I? Don't ask yourself. Don't ask nobody else. Ask God, God, who am I in this situation? Who am I in this situation? Who am I facing this challenge? Not who I'm trying to be. That's me trying to figure it out. Not what everybody else say I ought to do. God, who am I in this situation?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 17. Remember now, the purpose of the throne room of grace is to remind you of who you are.
Yes, sir.
Every time you forget, go to the throne room of grace.
Yes, sir.
And God is now the throne. Now let me the throne room of, and here's the great thing about it. The throne room of grace is with you. The throne room of grace is not a specific area. It's not a geographical location. The throne room of grace is with you. Didn't he say, I'll never
leave?
Matthew's 17. Watch this. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter and said, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou would, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Didn't pay no attention to him. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus again in the throne room of grace. In the throne of grace, he is reminded of who he is.
Yes.
Right.
God said, this is my beloved son.
Yeah.
In whom I'm well pleased.
Yes,
hear ye him. The same thing happens to you. You walk into the throne of grace, you spend time, God reminds you, you are my child.
Come on, yeah.
This is what I want you to do.
Yes. Yeah.
You are my child. This is how I want you to handle this.
Yes.
You are my son. You are my daughter. This is what you're going to do next.
Yeah.
All that's in the throne of grace that is with you. So watch this. So if the throne room of grace is, now I need y'all to grow up. If the throne room of grace is with me, then why after 25 years I'm still running to pastor? I can understand year one. I can understand year two, year three, year four, year five. But at some point,
yes.
At some point, I can't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. John, the first chapter, the 12th verse. John, the first chapter and the 12th verse. But as many
as received him, meaning Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word become sometimes is confusing. We read that word and think become meaning that we're something that we're not. But that word become meaning that what's already on the inside of you needs to come forth. Read, separate the words. Become. So many that accepted Jesus, as many has received him, to him gave the ability to be and then go forward. Let me say it another way. It's not becoming a son of God is not it's not a result. It already is. Yes. And Jesus uncovered it. Yes. To you. Yes. So when he gives you the power to uncover yourself, that means be you. It was there. I needed to come forth. Yes. See, diamonds come out of a diamond to come out of coal, right? Yes. So now, was the diamond already there? There was a transaction that happened to make the coal do what it was already designed to do. The blood of Jesus comes and applies pressure on your flesh. It applies pressure on your flesh so that you can uncover who you really are. Become. They say a coal, pressure applied to a coal, and then a coal, inside the coal, a diamond develops. But the everything that was needed was already there. The coal just didn't know it. But when pressure was applied, the same thing, that's same. You got a bunch of people walking around this world who don't know Christ and don't know their potential. So Satan is lying to them. He lied to them by letting them follow other religions that don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he don't mind them staying blind. Because long as he keep them blind, they cannot be effective in the earth realm for God. Yes. So he don't mind denominations playing church. Because if the denomination can keep you from figuring out who you, from discovering, not figuring out, from discovering who you really are, then Satan is winning. Yeah. But when Jesus comes and gives you the exousia or the power or the ability to uncover that sin nature, that's that when it says you, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Jesus was simply telling Nicodemus, you must convert to my way of thinking. Yeah. Nicodemus was playing crazy on Jesus. He said, well, Jesus, I got to go again, be born again. Jesus said, no, you must be born of water, because those that are born of flesh is of the flesh, is in the flesh. He said, then Jesus asked him a question. Go back and read it. Jesus asked him a question. Nicodemus, how you don't know this? You a master. So what I'm saying to you, you're supposed to know already. Other words, Nicodemus really didn't want to change the way he thought. He wanted to stick with the way he was thinking, but want the benefits of a redeemed person. A person who Jesus allowed to uncover that sin nature, to uncover who they really are.
going into that throne room of grace. See, we come to church and we come into an atmosphere to where an apostle who captures the presence of God and brings the presence of God so we can be exposed to it. The reason why we keep being exposed to the presence of God is so that we can find the presence on our own.
Yes. That's good.
There's no reason why you should wait till Sunday to get an answer. You shouldn't have to wait till Wednesday night to get an answer. Because you've been walking around with the throne room of grace all day. Remember now, the throne room is there to remind you of who you are.
Right.
To remind you that you are being. You're not trying to get to. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God.
Yes,
that's why the scripture shifts from John 1:12 to Romans 8:14. Because it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. That means that's people who have been in the throne room of grace. Those that have spent time with God on purpose. Jesus said this before he died on the cross. He said, he asked, where the kingdom of heaven is? Where the kingdom of God is? He said, you ain't gonna better say, Lord's there. Lord's over there. The kingdom of God. He said that before he went to the cross. That means that Jesus already knew what was inside those disciples. They didn't know it. So when he died on the cross, it just uncovered it. So the situation, the challenges that you're facing, sometimes you got to stand up to those things and just say, I'm a child of God.
Yes.
And wait until God tells you what to do.
Yes.
Stop stressing. Stop trying to figure it out. Forget what everybody else thinking or saying.
That's right.
Do you know the embarrassment that Jesus went through?
That's right.
They whooping on him and he ain't done nothing.
That's right.
They stab him in his side. He ain't do nothing. He had no sin on him. He just took on our sin.
Yes.
Do you know the shame that he went through? And you worry about these little people shoo-shooing? I don't care what nobody else is saying. I don't care what it looks like on that. One of them mocked Jesus. They say, hey, you the king of the Jews. Get yourself down from there. But Jesus, because he knew who he was, stayed there, bled and died. Sometimes God will allow you to go through a challenge to strengthen you, to apply pressure on you so you can become who he's called you to be. Sometimes God will let you go through a situation so that certain people can put their hands on you so he'll have a chance to deal with them. That's why you have to have peace. What is 2 Thessalonians? It says in everything, give thanks. You have to have peace. It also said in 2 Thessalonians, I think it's 5, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Do you know what that means? That means I'm always conscious of God talking to me. See, prayer ain't just always you talking. Sometimes prayer is you listening. So it say pray without ceasing. It didn't say talk without ceasing. It says pray without ceasing. That means the throne room of grace is always with you. So every moment and every second of the day, I can be in the presence of God. I can be in the throne room of grace. I can obtain mercy and find grace when I need it. Are you seeing this?
See, we so busy stressing and we face a challenge and we, God, why me? And then we start worrying about what other people saying about us going through the challenge and this and that. Man, forget all that. God, who am I in this situation? And let him reveal it to you. Let him uncover it for you so that you can, so that, watch this. Because once God, see, watch this. Once God gives you instructions, the power, the ability, and the anointing, whatever got to be removed, whatever got to be destroyed, is there with those instructions. So you can get, when God speaks to you and you do it, it is a guarantee that something is about to change. See, no longer you got to be guessing. Well, I'm gonna do step one, step two, step three. Let me look back at my notes. Oh yeah, step. He said, do this, and. No, when you go to the throne room of grace, yes, and God gives you instructions. Yes. In 2 Thessalonians, it also say, don't despise prophesying. Yes. Sometimes you'll be in your prayer room in the throne room and you'll start prophesying to yourself. Yes. You start prophesying to yourself and telling yourself the answer. God using you to uncover you. Yes. That's the kind of growth I'm talking about. Well, God can use you to uncover you. Yes. You don't need nobody else. Be seated. In Ecclesiastes, I think it's Numbers. Numbers 11, when God told Moses to choose the 70. He said, I'm going to take the spirit that's on you and I'm going to put it on them. God did it. But then there was two more in the crowd. With an Eldad and Medad. And the Spirit of God, they wasn't with the 70. They was everywhere. They was somewhere else in the crowd. The Spirit of God came up on them. They wanted to go run and tell Moses, say, hey, they got two people you ain't you. Moses said, y'all telling me for my sake? He said, I wish that they all. I wish that they all. That's what Jesus died on the cross for. That they all. That every last person in this room, online, every last person can go through the throne room of grace and get uncovered. Yeah. You can go through the throne room of grace for yourself. Yeah. So that you can uncover you. You can be reminded of who you are. This situation I'm facing ain't got nothing on me. Yeah. This situation, matter of fact, I gotta let this situation know who I am. Yeah. It's trying to, the situation trying to tell me who I am. But I got to flip the script. I got to tell the situation who I am. Now, if I don't know what to say, then I go to the throne room of grace. Yeah. He'll give me words to say. Yeah. See, instead of y'all trying to make up your own confession, sometimes y'all let God give you your... Lift your hand if you need a tie.